Good evening. If you would please turn to Romans chapter 10, and if you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 1, Romans chapter 10 isn't necessarily the text that I'm going to expound on, but it'll be a springboard as an introduction. Romans chapter 10. Starting in verse 1, we'll read 1 through 4. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this time. God, you know, I need your help this evening. Lord, I pray that your word would be a blessing to the church family here. I pray that it would be an encouragement. Pray that you would allow me to be a vessel which you would use to just help share your word, God, and please bless this time. Thank you for hearing my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you know, and many of you don't know, about a year ago, I ended my job with an employer for, I worked for him for about 20 years, big company, a couple thousand employees, and I started working closer to home with the Amish community. So I went from a few thousand to a couple guys here and there, but I've enjoyed working with them. I've made many friends with them. There's many things that I respect them for, their lifestyle. They've got a clear distinction of separation from worldliness. They've got a modesty in their dress. They've got pretty good work ethic. The support that they have within their community, their family structure, and the list goes on. I respect the Amish community. And I've made pretty good friends with a lot of Amish people. It's been an avenue where I've been able to build a lot of relationships. They've done a good job of not being swept away into the snares that much of today's Christians have become entangled in, and I respect them for that. First of all, I do believe that there are people within the Amish community that are born-again people. I want to make that clear right now. I believe that there's born-again people all over the place. But as a whole, I believe that, like Paul, his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel was that they might be saved. They had a zeal. They didn't believe in the Messiah. Now, these Amish people, they believe in the Messiah. But as I read this, I thought of my Amish friends. In a certain way, they've gone about to establish their own righteousness and have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge. I'm thankful to God that he's allowed me to speak to my Amish friends about him. He's given me that opportunity. Matter of fact, today, me and a mutual friend of me and my coworkers visited the job site. And he's been here. He's visited us one other time, Mr. Ed Christ. And the word got out that I'd be up here tonight. And he was kind of kidding around and he said, "Well, I'm going to come." And I really got nervous. And then they commented, "Well, I'm not going to. He's been preaching to us all week." Recently, I had a conversation with one of my Amish friends, and he agreed that salvation was that it happens at a point in time. We talked about being born again, trusting in Christ, repenting, and I'm trying to figure out just what is it that they believe. How do we believe differently? And as we talked, the matter of eternal security is where they don't believe that you're once saved, always saved. And I don't know whether you all know this or not, but many denominations, religions, don't believe in once saved, always saved. So I had a conversation with my friend, and God brought some verses to my mind, and I try to be gentle. I try to speak the truth in love, and try to respect them, but we talk. And lunch came, and the conversation was over, and I went home, and I started to study this a little bit. And I believed in eternal security before I started studying. But when I went home and I started opening that Bible and searching and looking, it's all over. I guess I have somewhat of a twofold purpose tonight. One is to, I feel somewhat of a missionary, because this is a field that God's placed me in. I mean, I have a full-time job. I'm not a full-time missionary, but this is a mission field, and I'm asking you, I'm sharing this burden with you. And I know that there's some, Brother Harry and Miss Don, I know that if I ask you to pray, I can count on you to pray. And if nothing else tonight, I can count on the prayers of my brother and sister and my brothers and sisters here to pray for me as I try to share the gospel and share the word of God. And my heart's desire for the Amish community is that they might be saved. They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge in many cases. One of the chapters that I looked up and I was looking into about eternal security is Ephesians chapter 1, if you're there. I'm not going to be able to get to all these notes, but we'll see what the Lord allows me to get through here. I want to point out the emphasis in Ephesians chapter 1 about, let me put the emphasis on these words as I speak them. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. Down in verse 3, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ. A repeated theme throughout this. It just keeps on pointing to Christ. It's all about Christ. It's all about God. It's Him. Verse 4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Are you catching the emphasis on there? This whole thing, and I thank the Lord for it, we have so little to do with our redemption and our security. I started looking about the word adopted in there. If you notice earlier in the chapter, it says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father. And later it talks about adoption of children in verse 5. Ephesians 1:2 says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord. I'm sorry, that was the wrong verse. Romans 8:15 talks about adoption. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His sons into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And in 1 John 3:1, but I literally have over 12 pages here. Now, the print's big, but it's 12 pages of verse after verse after verse. We have eternal life. John 3:16. The Lord brought this verse to my mind when I was talking to my Amish friend. This is my favorite verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have what? To me, that's eternal security. If we've been given everlasting life, and I mess up like I do on a regular basis, that we do, and I don't repent, if I had everlasting life and it's not everlasting, then that's a lie. That's a very simple eternal security verse. And there's many more simple verses like that about eternal life, that we pass from death to life in John chapter 5. One thing that I wanted to look at, it says later in the chapter there in Ephesians chapter 1, it says that we're heirs. Heirs. And I got to thinking about that. Yeah, heirs with an H. And let's go to 1 Peter. Verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according, here it is again. Listen to the emphasis. Which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. I like these descriptive words. To an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. How about this word? Reserved in heaven for you. And then we'll look at the next verse. who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Just as I was looking at this stuff, and I've been looking at it for a few weeks, it's just been an encouragement to me, and I hope that just the reassurance and the realization that Jesus paid it all. Amen. It's by and through, and that's a blessing to me, and I hope that it's a blessing to you. Hebrews 9:15 says, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. We have been reserved in an incorruptible inheritance in 1 Peter 1:4. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. Reserve. And then I got to looking further in Ephesians chapter 1 there down toward the end. In whom ye also trusted, in verse 13, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. This is one of the few verses that has any us mentioned at all with anything that we have, anything to do with any of this. It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, in whom also after that ye believed. This is an interesting study here. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What does that mean? We were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Does everybody know what a seal is, or what it was? And back in the day, it was authenticating, right? Authenticating. Is that a word? Authenticating. Authentic. That maybe it was the king that had a seal. He had maybe it was a signet, a ring, and right, push it down and into the clay, wax, and it you could put it on a letter, and I could say, Ed, Brother Ed, if I'm the king, I'm going to put my signet on this letter. I want you to deliver it to such and such. And that seal was the sign that it was authentic and that the ownership was of God. That'll bless your heart. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And then the next verse, here's another good word that we don't use too often that you look into, and it's a blessing here. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now, earnest, that's not some guy's name. What is earnest?
A down payment.
A down payment.
Like a layaway. You know, God, he's going to come back and take us.
That's it. That's it. That's like, you know, you put a sign out in front of your house, you're putting it up for sale, you get some offers, somebody gives you an earnest payment, a down payment. What happens to that sign? The sign goes down. Which is the earnest, the Holy Spirit that God has given us as born again children of God, is the earnest of our inheritance. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. God said it. We're sealed. We're bought. And a little side note, some people say, well, when you talk to them about this eternal security matter, well, so what? You think you can just get saved and go, it gives you a license to sin? First of all, another side note. This easy believism thing has gotten out of hand in our society. Believe, you know, God knows whether you've repented and believed and put your trust in Christ. God knows. The Bible says we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are His. We don't glorify God to be bought. We glorify God because we're bought. Therefore, glorify God. And if anything, knowing that you're secure in Christ, that, well, in Ephesians chapter 2 it says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. He says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth and of Israel and strangers and pilgrims without any hope. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, by grace ye are saved. And when you think about what we were, no hope, lost, dirty, rotten, low down, no good sinners, no hope. And you think, Jesus Christ shed his blood. The nails were pierced through his hand. They mocked him and spat on him and ripped his beard and platted that crown of thorns on his head. And you think, he paid my sin debt. We're bought by his blood. His blood paid for my sin. That doesn't want to give me a license to sin. That makes me a thankful person who's been saved by grace, not of works. And do you all believe that? Do you believe that you're secure in Christ? It's my desire, and I do thank God because he continues to just allow me and these my friends at work and these Amish guys. They don't mind talking a little bit about Bible. They don't mind, and we talk. I really want them to have the security that we have because our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And I think about the two that went to the temple to pray, I talked to my fellow friends today about this. The one walked away, walked home justified, and the other, what was it? Was it because he was a good guy? Was the emphasis on, remember we were looking at the emphasis is on Christ, the emphasis is on him, he's done it. This guy just realized he needed mercy. And he called. He believed. He put his trust in full trust in Christ. And the gospel is simple. And again, I don't know how many verses I have here that talk about what we have in Christ. That it's there. We own these things. Not because of who we are, but in Christ. I want to share this with my friends. I appreciate your prayers for me in regards to this prayer meeting tonight. I should have asked for prayer for it, but now you know. Next week you can pray. And this just goes on and on. We have full assurance in Hebrews, Colossians, strong consolation. We're forgiven in Romans 4:7, 1 John 2:12, justified in Romans 5:1. We have peace with God. Romans 5:9, we're justified by His blood. Titus 3:7, justified by His grace. Reconciled in Romans 5:10, risen with Christ. Romans 6, 3 through 6, Colossians 3, 1, a child of God forever. Romans 8, 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We receive the spirit of adoption. Galatians 4, 4 also talks about our sonship. Sanctified in Christ in 1 Corinthians 1, 2. A new creature in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Accepted in the Beloved again. Saved, 2 Timothy 1, 9. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Light in the Lord. I mean, I can go on and on and on. Sanctified once for all, perfected forever, passed from death to life. In Romans chapter 8, it talks about no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Toward the middle of that, it talks about us being adopted. Toward the end, it says, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I look at these verses and I think God's on my side. And you know what? Through Christ, by His blood, the work that's been done, I'm secure. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If I could be saved and be lost again, why would Paul write these verses? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? A couple verses further down in verse 38. Listen to these, what are they, adjectives? Descriptive words. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Ready for this one? All right, here it is. Ready? Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not in me. His love and what we have is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you thankful? Pray for my friends and to those that you know. Let them know. Let them know the good news.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.